and surpass penetrating and perfect truth.
Even in 100,000 myriad compass, now we can see and hear it. We can remember and accept it. I vow to make the Buddha's truth one with myself.
Omnis the Buddha, omnis the Dharma, omnis the Sangha. As you all know, I'm writing some little reflections, these little mini, mini essays on how to grow a lotus blossom. I'm, as you also know, I'm in the process of making a website. These can be posted on. There'll be a special little website with links to and from our Priory website. I think that this week I would like to do some short talks on some of these topics that I'm writing on. And today I'd like to say a little bit about having compassion for oneself. If you open How to Grow Lotus Blossom and read the first chapters, I have to say it sure doesn't look much like someone having compassion for themselves. Or rather, it does look like it if you know how to understand compassion in a deeper and more spiritual way than is usually the case. In the midst of so much physical distress and spiritual turmoil, Reverend Master chose to do what really seems to be the very hardest thing of all, which is to, as Reverend Master Mokian likes to say, nosedive the pain through pure meditation. And we don't normally think of rushing into pain as the kindest thing we can do for ourselves. But in this particular case, in these particular circumstances, it really was the kindest thing to do for herself. And I don't know if River Master was ever thinking that thought. But she did know, as anyone in those circumstances can know, if they're willing to see it, and anyone who is fortunate enough to have learned how to meditate, that in the midst of a great spiritual and physical firestorm, the only place to go that offers any relief is actually right through the heart of the pain down beneath it, where one can sit still underneath it. And when this happens at the deepest level, as so many people who meditated with pain have found, it's like you're sitting down there underneath it, and the pain is there, and yet it's separate from you. It's there, and in a way, it's separate. I certainly found this in the fall of 1976, after Burmeister came back to the monastery, and when, like most of us in the monastery at the time, the depth of her training and teaching just triggered. What is happening with my master triggered my own karmic pain really coming up. And after my initial efforts to avoid it, I finally accepted that I simply had to sit within it. And I will say that it was a little firestorm, and I did find that my only relief was in meditation, in pure meditation. And so, quite understandably, for someone who is in a lot of pain and wants relief really bad, I literally ran to the meditation hall in the morning. You weren't supposed to run, but I'm afraid I broke the rules. I also got up a half hour or more before meditation and sat on my own in my room. That you weren't supposed to do that either. But sometimes you have to stretch a point a bit. And there's the letter of the rules and the spirit of the rules, and I needed all the spirit I could get. In less than 3 months, this led to a Kensho. And it was truly one of those classic Kenshos that happened to people in very great need. I was half out of my mind with grief and despair until that Kensho hit. Yet I felt myself and knew myself to be completely safe. Especially whenever I was sat in that meditation hall with my fellow monks. This is also the time I've sometimes talked about, is that I spent the whole of morning service, I mean from the very beginning of it, to the very end of it, weeping. And not just a few tears running down my face, but I'd come out with my kesa, top of my kesa, soaked with tears. Forces that unleashed within me that I had never imagined existed. What a wonderful and awe-inspiring process this is. Of course, it does not happen to any two people in exactly the same way. And it does come eventually to everyone who does this, that they do feel that intensity they do know that, come to know that there's a refuge in meditation, pure meditation that cannot be found anywhere else. And one day, we all do cry our hearts out. And that's just part of our very deepest spiritual need, needing to get up to the eternal. Her master said she just cried for 48 hours when at the beginning of that retreat, round the clock. I say again, what a wonderful and awe-inspiring process this is. So it is, in fact, having compassion for ourselves when we choose to meditate with the pain and with the underlying spiritual need, even though it can be so very difficult. Even though it sometimes asks every last bit of faith that we can muster, still it is the kindest thing. And in the end, we do not count the cost. It seems as nothing. It is nothing in comparison with what it leads us to. Truly have compassion for ourselves is to train so deeply that the eternal can get at that need within us, so that the compassion of the eternal can get directly at the deepest need. How can it not be having compassion for ourselves to do that which allows infinite compassion and infinite wisdom to help us? The way Reverend Master showed us is a way of true spiritual magnificence. We can find it within ourselves. We can see it in others, as I have been privileged to see it in River Master, in each person in this room today, and many other people. Each of us possesses the Buddha nature. Let us take refuge in it. Long for it. And love it. Homage to all the Buddhas.